Were there hermits involved?
Hey, for the purpose of education, critique, and review, I'm WC Chronicles, and this is the Shiny Squirrel Podcast Network, The Nerdlings, and this is...
Jersey Mike here with the famous...
The one and only Mark Dawson, lead singer of The Grassroots. Mark!
Good morning. Hi, fellas. Thanks for having me on the show, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we are here. You just did a show here in Las Vegas. We are actually poolside down at the Golden Nugget Hotel. Found ourselves a little bit of a behind of a quiet area in glass so we can hear ourselves talk. And we're just going to talk about the new album, your radio show, and just get a synopsis of those who've never met Mark Dawson, who is probably one of the coolest dudes around in a while.
I appreciate that. And yes, you are correct, Wayne. The view here at the side of the Golden Nugget Pool, we could just hang here all day if it's all right with you.
My Steve Austin bionic eye is getting a workout.
My question is, did you sleep at all with all this eye candy around? Do you sleep?
Yes, my wife was with me on the trip. I'm kidding, yeah. You know what?
There's a bodybuilding competition going on, so there's eye candy for her, too, so this is Vegas.
She pointed that out to me.
Did she?
We met some friends after a sound check yesterday, and just chit-chatting. I think we were at the Chart House Lounge, and we're just chit-chatting, and all of a sudden, she starts doing the head turns one way, and I go, "What's up?" She goes, "Did you see that?" There's about a 7-foot guy who looked like the perfect Adonis body. I go, "Yes, I did. Why?"
I am feeling a little small right now.
Yeah, I just sort of drooped into my chair. Yeah, I saw him, honey. Yeah, what? But I sing. That really is cool. A lot of cool people at the hotel here, and the bodybuilders, right? That's something to see, man.
And there's lady bodybuilders too on.
Yeah,
they scare me. They could hurt me.
That's the fun part. You know what I mean? And if they're grassroots fans, Mark, I don't know. Well, they might be hurting you too. You might not have a choice there.
As far as lady bodybuilders, as long as we establish a safe word, it's all cool.
Well, I mean, known for songs of like Sooner or Later, Midnight Confessions, Live for Today. You said it was a sold-out performance last night. You're still, the banner is still being held. It's going, it's moving, you know, for the grassroots. I know a lot of people forget their music, but then it's like the Live for Today, just reviewing them with him earlier.
You got Temptation Eyes.
Temptation Eyes, yes.
I mean, the soundtrack, the top 40 hits these guys have is endless. I mean, charming, good looking. I mean, this is an Adonis in front of me. This is, I'll tell you.
Oh my God!
Frig all these other bodybuilders. This is the true Adonis here.
I'm gonna hang with you guys. Seriously,
hey, keep it hetero. Keep it hetero.
Great. Well, you know, overall, the Grassroots had 16 top 20 songs. 16 that fell in the top 20. And only two of them ended up actually being number one songs. But at one point, this goes back to late 60s, there were 309 consecutive weeks where there was at least one, if not more, grassroots song in the top 50.
Really?
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible fact, but it just kept pumping out singles. Back then, of course, in the 60s into the early 70s, singles were important. People were buying that 45 RPM. So you could just, even if an album was out there, you could pump out a new single just to keep the songs alive. And then they'd worry about an album later. And they'd, okay, well, there was no concept albums per se back then.
Wow.
You know?
I mean, Frank Sinatra was the one that had the concept albums,
oh,
you know?
Man.
You didn't go down to get the latest Frank Sinatra 45.
you bought anything Frank put out, as simple as that, you know, whatever Frank had. But yeah, the one thing I notice, there's many things I notice, but one of the, I love this too. When any show we're at, it doesn't matter if it's in a casino, if it's a festival, or if it's a performing arts theater, as the lead singer, I can generally see the first three or four rows while we're playing. And we'll start to play a song like, say, Heaven Knows or something. Not the biggest chart topper, but it was certainly up there. And you'll just see faces, and they've got that expression like, "Oh my gosh, I know this song." Never knowing that it was the Grassroots, they just know the tune from the old AM radio days.
I mean, radio is not geared to play Grassroots today. It's like every other song is that, "God, I hate Pat Benatar," all the time. That's all they play.
Oldies radio is.
Or Joan Jett. I love rock. I'm sick of that.
you know, oldies radio isn't, as we probably knew oldies, it was 50s and 60s and 70s. Now, oldies is 80s, 90s, and today.
Yeah, that's...
I had a guy, actually, last night at the meet and greet after the show, and he said to me, he says, do you think that, is there any other outlet other than the Sirius Radio 60s on 6 that keep the grassroots and other music like that alive? And I thought about it for a second. I said, you know, outside of independent radio and maybe some podcasts and things, I said, no, nobody else does but Sirius. They're probably the leaders. And, of course, there's lawsuits going on with them about royalties and such.
All the time.
It's a love-hate relationship, but that's really the only outlet where you can get solid 60s hits all the time. Radio's not doing it anymore, regular traditional radio.
I heard Howard Stern got a big bulk of Sirius stock and everything when he took over, and then he dumped it all because they were basing a lot of the network on his program to come onto Sirius back about, what, 15 years ago? They was just amazing. And then it just dropped, just flattened out.
I had heard he scored like something like a $25 million deal. And you're right, radio, I agree with you. It was soon after, radio just sort of, the internet kind of took over. Radio became insignificant, at least in the pop radio sense of things. There's still it's many stations, you know, your Taylor Swift's and such, but
Yeah. We
all know that's automated, 100% automated, and it's just, you know, every 45 minutes you're going to hear that same song by that same artist.
Sometimes 24 hours later, or within 5 or 10 minutes, you will hear the same song again on that same station, you know. You'll hear the latest Taylor Swift song again.
Never stops.
See, we have a guy overhearing our conversation, had to come up because he has Mark's charm and charisma. He wants to pick up on it. I know that.
Well, you know, here's
what... It's got to be hard being you, Mark.
What, you know, I know what they say. People who are on cell phones, your level of importance is always measured in how loud you can be around others. So he's scoring about an 8.5 right now, guy here.
We should put up our signs 8, 9, 10. We rate him.
Like at the pool, just and the winner. And that averages out to an 8.3. I'm sorry, you're not going on to the next round of competition.
So you just...
And he left.
This is what makes podcasts fun. This is why we always arrive where we're meeting someone early to scope out a quiet location or attempt a low location.
Okay, I have a question for you. I want some dirt. Now, all honesty, you said you guys focus. You could focus as the lead singer, the first 3-4 rows, everything. Have you ever been flashed by a woman, honestly?
Yes.
Wow.
Now I got to put in there. Was that during Senior Citizens Karaoke Night?
You're on the right path, okay? No. I can. I don't want to reveal the exact location, but we were at something. This will give you an idea of the class level. We were at something that was called the Trout Fest, okay? At the Trout Fest, it's somewhere in the upper Midwest. I don't want to tell you that it was Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I don't want to say that. Okay. And there was, this is one of those events, it would be called a non-ticketed event, where everybody's, oh, grassroots are playing, and everybody shows up, and it's a, you know, they might pay an admission. It's a fair, is what it is.
Like the first time I saw you back in Albany 14 years ago, it was a community thing, big park, wide open space.
Yes, the same idea, but again, it's Trout Fest.
Trout Fest.
So this... not young lady was in the front and walking by front stage and just yelling things that none of us could decipher exactly what she was saying. Now, I know there's a strong German contingency up there, but this was not German, okay? And she's saying things, doing things. Double 22-ounce beers in her hands,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And at one point, we you mentioned before, Mike, we started the song Temptation Eyes. And I, it's not quite dark yet. It's maybe maybe it's 8 o'clock at night. Not, you know, the sky hasn't darkened. The lights haven't completely taken over. So I can kind of see everything. She goes, Temptation Eyes. First chord hits, and I hear her scream out, "That's what I'm talking about," and the top goes up in the air. She didn't just flash; she threw her entire shirt up in the air, and the guys in the band just went, "Whoa!" But not in a good way. Fortunately, our friends in security covered her up very quickly. But that was a moment. We once in a while would talk. We go, yeah, remember Trout Fest? Wow. Oh, please, you can't cover your eyes enough.
Was there a distant scream? Oh, get Grandma's tube top back on her.
It was certainly like that. Oh, people just gasped. The people behind, they were behind her, and they could see what was in there.
Shriveled up prunes, I guess, huh?
Only in the Midwest.
It was, yeah, absolutely. A lot of beers, and it was the right situation at the right time. We had a fun time, but that was one of those, once in a while, we remind each other, well, it wasn't Trout Fest, you know.
That's one of those things, I guess, if you have a nice buzz, we want a buzz killer.
Oh, man. We wanted to stop the show. Like, you don't need any more songs.
Reset. Well, tell us about, I mean, I already know about it, but our listeners don't know about it, about your Make a Noise radio show on the Our Generation radio program.
Well, thanks. I do a show every Thursday night, except when there's a travel concern, but I do a show every Thursday night on Our Generation Radio. And what I try to do is just be old school radio. They're great. The guys, they're out of Columbia, South Carolina. And by the way, you could find it on the internet at ourgenerationradio.com.
We'll have to link that in the description for the podcast, for sure. Great.
Thank you. Well, I do it Thursday night. It's 9 o'clock Eastern time. And they just say, when we hooked this thing up a couple of years ago, what format do you want me to stay with? And the program director said, you're the lead singer of the Grassroots. You play whatever you want to play.
Nice.
And I was like, well, you know, I'm 60s is my thing, of course. But I like, once in a while, I like the Foo Fighters. I rock with those guys, or the Killers. In fact, they're out here in Vegas. He says, you want to play Foo Fighters and Killers, or you do whatever you want? I said, well, what if I want to bust out a guitar and play in the studio? Because it's your show. So that's sort of what I predicated it on. I have a bit of a format. We always do, every week, we do the worst song ever recorded, where we really search for some bad, bad songs. But we don't just take random local bands. We look for real artists who you know their name, and we find the worst thing they ever, like silly, bad songs. We have a blast with that. We do. We always do a little Beatles block at 10 o'clock, four Beatles songs. We do the sexy song of the night, which was my wife's idea. She said, why don't you pick late in the show where we just do a really, really sexy song? Anything from 1960 to whatever. We might once in a while take a 50s. We've done that maybe. And we've been adding, well, it's been about 2 years now, my Mr. Noise Unplugged section, where I generally take an old popular song and sort of reimagine it, rearrange it my way, and play that live on the air. And usually it goes well, but sometimes not. We Siri visits me. We have Siri's my friend. We have nice long conversations on the air. And
so are people actually able to, when you're doing the air, are they able to communicate with you, like through Facebook or through the phone or something? Or this is why we're live upstairs.
That's crazy.
Those, like somebody's got a boombox from the 80s. That's what it sounds like. You back the boombox
out. Is this just your sound check from last night?
A very loud speakerphone.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. We'll keep on rolling.
Dude. Well, as far as reaction, reacting along with the show, we have a chat room that is live as the show goes on. So if you logged into ourgenerationradio.com, you'd see there's a listen live button and then there's a chat button. So we have dozens and dozens and dozens. It's too fast for me to follow because I'm actually trying to talk on the air. And but great fans, and they'll talk about the songs, what's going on, who's doing what, and I look at it and they make me laugh. I don't have time to type. So it really is a fun.
Thank you.
It really is a fun a fun group of people. Many of them were here last night. We probably had 20 of my listeners were in the front row last night. It was great. Yeah.
Because you're not the common rock star. You actually take time, say hello, you acknowledge your fans.
No, he's grounded. He's a normal human being. He's a great
That's
guy.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He's just normal, average guy who made it successful, and he knows he's cool as shit. That's it.
I appreciate that. I am. I strive to be that. And
this picks up very well in recording, so don't worry.
I think they're just testing their DJ system.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, you need a new one. I actually strive for that. I like the fact that I'm very accessible to people. Like, because they think, oh, there's a guy in the lead singer in the Grassroots. That doesn't mean you can't come up and say hi to me and I'll chat with you. I enjoy that part of it. The fan interaction, to me, that's important. Sadly, I'm sure you guys know some as well. There's plenty of artists who maybe don't want to interact at all. I can never really wrap my head around that idea. I think if you're a fan of the music, then we have that automatic commonality right there. We are fans of this music together. And why wouldn't I have a chat with you, you know? And as far as on the radio, when I speak on the radio, I speak as if I'm talking to whomever, you know. I know that somebody's going, yeah, Mark, I agree with you, or you know, something.
That's what makes it so, because I've listened to you, and it's so warm and cordial. That's what I like.
Oh, thanks, man. I can honestly say I don't prepare any notes or anything like that. I don't even prepare the next song I'm going to play. I start to talk about something, whatever kind of pumps in my mind, and I go, yeah, I'll play some Sly and the Family Stone after this. that's what I do.
That is sweet. Freestyling, just rolling with it.
That's like what the original DJs old school did do.
That's the way I feel about that. I really believe that that's what they did. Maybe they had particular songs. I'll give you an example. You probably knew the name Larry Lujack. He was kind of a Midwestern WLS legend.
The call letters I recognize.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was big radio. Well, Larry Lujack was sort of the guy for maybe 10 years or so. He was the evening guy. So I'd lay in bed with the one transistor radio thing in my ear.
Wow.
And listen. And I will never forget this. It was the day that Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater was released. So, and I was a new fan. Susie Q had been out, and there was Green River, perhaps, was out already. You know, I liked them. So this song came on the radio, and you know, I see a bad. It's playing. I'm like, oh, it's got to be Creedence Clearwater. So the song ends, and I remember Larry Lujack had this deep kind of weird voice, and he would talk like this, and he said, "Yeah, that was the new one by Creedence Clearwater Revival." You know, I really, really like that song. You know what? I'm gonna play it again. And I couldn't. It's the first time I ever heard that happen. I went, "How cool! He's just doing whatever he wants." And that's kind of my idea. Like, wow, Larry Lujack on a station that hit 38 states, and everybody knew who he was, and he just decided to play the same song twice. Nobody told him to do that or to not do that. And that's kind of what I...
I remember that back in the 80s, the radio station, they had the new David Lee Roth, California Girls.
Oh, that's great.
They played it. You go, let's play it again, you know?
That was a huge... what a great way to take that. And then he follows it up with, you know, the Louis Prima song, yeah. Just a Gigolo. And he covered some songs that are pretty... I wasn't really a Van Halen fan, but I love what David Lee Roth did.
I'm a fan just because I'm a child from the 80s, you know? I can't lie about it. That's the truth.
I got you beat by a few years there. I'm a child of the 60s.
So what you have... Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to cut in. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
Would you have liked to have been to the original Woodstock, or would you at the where you at? You're not that old enough to have been at the original Woodstock.
I could have been there, actually, and I had friends that did go, and now I did not go, and to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed, because the stories my friends brought back, they didn't really enjoy themselves. They never got anywhere near the stage. They were miles away.
Oh, wow.
And plus they walked 7 miles to get to be a mile from the stage and were covered in blood.
Mud.
They were not prepared. So I would have been with them on that trip and I would have been miserable. They did say, oh, it was cool to hear that music. All those, you know, that, you know, far away, he said, but as far as getting there, it was awful.
Wow.
And so, but I would have loved to be up in the sea of people up front.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you had to be from that area.
You had to get there early.
Yeah, very early. Camp out for a few days before you got to camp out.
Right. But every act that was on that bill, it was just absolutely, they're all classic acts, and I would have loved to have seen, I've seen most since, but to be at that show would have been incredible. Yeah, that would be something.
So you just put out your new album called I've Got It Covered, a collection of, I think, of about 14 songs, of songs that you have made your own, you put your own little twist on. I have to say, it's like one. I'm just gonna run down the titles, okay?
Sure.
And we'll insert a few of them. Play them, not right now, but later. We'll insert them into the podcast.
Can I get that guy with the boombox?
Yeah.
the guy loud had a loud talk us over here because he's Mark's aura drug him in. What can I say?
Eye in the Sky, the Alan Parsons Project cover you did. I like that one. We'll just run these through a few of them. Tell us a little bit about them.
Don't say words you're going to regret. Don't let the fire rush to your head. I've heard the accusations before, but I ain't gonna take any more. Believe me, the sun in your eyes made of some of the lies worth believing. I am the eye in the sky, looking at you. I can read your mind. I am the maker of rules, dealing with fools.
Well, with Eye in the Sky in particular, I did that because the night before, I actually spent the evening with Alan Parsons and his wife.
Really?
Lisa and Alan I had never met Alan before. So here we were. I went down to the Plaza Theater in Orlando where he's playing. Now, the keyboard player for Alan is Manny Focarazzo, a wonderful guy, an old friend of mine. Manny says, hey, come on back and meet Alan. And the funniest thing happened first. I got to tell you this. So the show ends, and there's sort of a green room where everybody's partying after the show. And he's got a band of seven guys, and everybody's back there having some drinks and talking. So there's 16 or 17 people in the room, my wife and myself included. And I'm talking with Dave, the drummer. I'm chatting with Dave a little bit, and then this and that. The door opens, and Alan walks in the door. Now you think, Alan Parsons, oh my God, he's walking in the door. No one even acknowledged Alan.
Oh, shit.
No one looks at him. No. And Alan just says, like, well then, I'll be back in there if someone needs me. And he closes the door.
I'm sorry.
He closes the door. And Kathy goes, my wife Kathy says, that was Alan Parsons, right? She goes, why did he leave? It's his show. I said, I know. So my friend Manny says, well, come on, let's go meet Alan. So he takes me back to Alan's dressing room where he was sitting with his wife, Lisa. And I just said, hey, Alan, nice to meet you. I'm the lead singer of the Grassroots. Really a pleasure. And then he goes, well, nice to meet you, Mark, but I don't know the Grassroots. And his wife punches him in the arm, and she goes, Alan, are you kidding me? She's American, and the Grassroots had never had big hits in England. We just never did. So Alan, being an Englishman, you know, forever, he just didn't know our stuff. But Lisa's from the U.S. She's from California. She punches back, Alan, are you kidding me? And she starts singing, sooner or later, love. And Alan looks at her and he goes, no, I don't know it. And she goes, in my midnight confession. She goes, nah, don't know it. And I'm like, oh, well, your wife really, you know.
Your wife's digging me.
Anyway, it turned into a laugh. She's singing all the songs, and Alan doesn't know any of them. And he goes, well, the hell with the music. Sit down and have something to drink.
Wow.
And we sat, like, the four of us sat like this for a couple of hours. Just what a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
So easy to chat with. We didn't even talk about music. Maybe a little bit. We just talked about, he really enjoyed being in America. He was on the tour they were going on, had the orchestra with them. We talked a little about that. My wife and Alan's wife talked about internet shopping and their favorite places to buy shoes. So it worked out perfectly. And really just, so the point of that was, I really had a great time with Alan. And the next day, I couldn't get Eye of the Sky out of my head. I just couldn't get it out. And when I do these songs with the reinterpretations, I don't go to the record and listen to it. I kind of think, I kind of know what's in my head.
Because you're doing all vocals, all instrumentation on it yourself, right?
Yeah, I do it all. I even, once in a while, I use a little drum machine. Although that one, I think I kept the drums out. I don't remember. I have to hear it again. But I go in my little home studio, and I just start to create as I remember the song. Mm-hmm. So they may not be note for note perfect, but it's my reimagining. When they're done, I'll go back and I go, I guess that was sort of close. But with Eye in the Sky, it was actually that next morning after we were out till very late with Alan. And that was quite inspiring. And what a wonderful guy.
That's a good story.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I'm going to go to the other one, Louie Louie.
You're going to go to Louie Louie?
I love your rendition of Louie Louie. It was so, like,
hypnotic slash hippie-ish slash psychedelic. How did you come up with just doing that off the top of your head? That was wild.
Aloha, aloha, may God to go. Aloha, aloha, aloha. Yeah. A fine little girl, she awaits for me. Me catch the ship for to cross the sea. I sail the ship all alone. I never think I'll make it home. Aloha, aloha, me got to go.
So I ran a 50th anniversary of the song Louie Louie. I did a show about the 50th anniversary. I found over 200 recordings of Louie Louie out everywhere, just in every language you could think of, every version, including this Julie London, if you know the old British vocalist, she did this sexy version of Louie Louie. I was like, oh my God, I want to get with you and sing me Louie Louie. So as I was doing the show, I thought, well, maybe I should do my own. So I actually pulled a ukulele off the wall and just started. It was just a uke, and I started playing I actually knew I looked them up to be sure, but I knew the words, and they're not filthy words like everybody thought. And I'm playing it, and I'm thinking, it all right, it's working, but it needs something. And I just happened to turn on a setting on one of my recorders, and it was something I never ever use. It just said doubled chorus vocal. That's all it said. So I turned it up all the way to see what it did, and it was like, wow, that sounds deep and crazy. And I started going, for no reason, I just started going, and I was like, that works with the uke. And that's how it happened. It was total chance.
Like a chant.
Yeah, absolute chance. And then I added some vocals where I answered myself with a little echo, and but it was strictly that sound came up, and that made me go, yeah, I'm going to do this.
Wow.
Now, if little Louie Louie history, I mean, it has a long history, but back in the 80s when the state of Oregon legislature was about to pass a resolution declaring Louie Louie by the Kingsmen and Paul Revere and the Raiders to be the official state rock and roll song.
Yeah.
Do you know who was responsible for that?
Was it Paul?
No.
Was it really you?
It was me who initiated that whole thing.
I did not know that. In my little bit of research about that 50th anniversary, I did read a bit about that being the state rock and roll song.
My name's not on it anywhere,
but
I got the exact. Where's
the Wikipedia page? I'm going to edit it right now.
I got the documentation that came from the state floor in my files, so I'm the one that pushed that thing from way back in the day.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, man. I got a couple songs maybe you could push for me.
Hey, anything. So what is your favorite song on of all the ones you recorded for this album?
On that album, I probably like Sunny Afternoon by the Kinks the most.
Taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht, he's taken everything I've got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Save me, save me, save me from this squeeze. I got a big fat mama trying to break me. And I love to live so pleasantly, live this life of luxury, blazing on a sunny afternoon.
Now, I did that one. I did try to stay true to form on that one. it's always just been a song that I thought was silly yet rocking. And I love Ray Davies' style. Now, I did that one on the show because a good friend of mine, he actually lives out not far, he's here in the hotel somewhere. He is a Kinks fan from his head to his toes, and it was his birthday the day I did that. So I said, I got a special, you know, Mr. Noise Unplugged for the hippie. We call him the hippie. And I did Sunny Afternoon. And what if you listen to the end of that, at the very end, as it's starting to fade out, there's voices are fading in. I actually took the Kinks vocal and faded that in. So that's the Kinks singing at the end. When I'm not singing anymore, it's Ray Davies and Dave Davies singing. Oh. Blazing on a sunny afternoon in the summertime. That's their voices at
I'm
the
gonna
very
have to listen
end.
To that again intensely.
That was my favorite because it took me a while to put it together. I tried to stay true to that one because I just thought it's always been such a fun song. I mean, the big fat mama trying to squeeze me, and just all about, you know, getting your money just taken away. I know Ray Davies singing that tongue in cheek, and I had fun doing that one as well.
So are there any more physical copies of the CD that fans can purchase, and where would they go, or are we just down to MP3 digital?
Well, if you can get the MP3 downloads at my website, but as far as physical CDs, they're only available through CreateSpace, but you can get that link on my website. So okay. if they look up,
we will put that in our link of description of the podcast.
Okay, thank
for sure.
You. Yeah, the CreateSpace deal that we have, they sell it. It's an Amazon company, and they create the they package it.
Print on demand?
It is print on demand.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They do it all, and which alleviates a lot of work on my end. You know. But they did give me X amount. That the first batch was the autographed personalized models, whatever they call it. We did that before too. It gets I get a lot of stuff boxes in the house, you know, when we start those. So CreateSpace gives me that initial one. They take pre-orders, and after that, they handle it all. And they're great. They haven't screwed up anything yet that I'm aware of.
I believe in pushing people to support the musician because, I mean, this is 14 songs. You got to pay the royalties to record the things.
Licensing fees,
the licensing fees. These things are not cheap. So I worked with Carlo on getting some of the licensing fees and stuff. This stuff is not cheap. So, folks, buy Mark's album, or Jersey Mike is going to come have dinner at your house.
Yes, and we will bring some other people from the grave from New Jersey, like Sinatra, and a couple other people will come and visit you.
That's probably not good, I'm guessing. Will you bring meatballs, though? That's because
I don't know. Maybe a little meatballs, a little spaghetti sauce, yeah. little Ginsu knives. I don't know. It's all good.
Yeah, because, I mean, those licensing fees, if you just ignore those and go, I am just not going to worry about it, they will come find
come
you.
Come back later and say you owe us this much money. I learned that a few years back.
Maybe we can dig up James Gandolfini, Tony Soprano. Bring him along. Why not?
E.T.
So, Mark, it's been great having you on our podcast.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you very much. It's good to meet. Oh, I met you, of course, before, but it's good to meet you in your show surroundings and the fine people here at the Golden Nugget Hotel.
Thank you very much for taking time out, because I'll tell you what, this man, if you ever get a chance, go buy the stuff, see him in concert, see the group. Very charming, very awesome, very down-to-earth gentleman.
And if you do, and thanks, Mike, and if you do see me or if I'm walking past, please say hello. I mean, I may talk too long, much like now. So stop by and say hi.
Pull out a Sharpie. He'll autograph your forehead for you.
Or my own forehead so you can take a picture.
Next time you're in Vegas, please come back on the podcast, because you're always a fair gentleman, and I want to push you and give you whatever I can for promotion.
I would love that. I thanks, Wayne. I would love that. Appreciate it very much, man. You guys are cool.
Thank you so much, Mark.
All right. Beautiful.
Thank you very much.